Good morning and welcome to week two of the Florida legislative session. I'm Casey Cook. I'm the Chief of Legislative Affairs for the League of Cities. It's good to have you on the line for today's League lobbyist briefing. For those that are new to the call-in, we start the call with each of the lobbyists discussing the key bills that they are working on and watching this week at the Capitol and where we need your help on the advocacy front. Once each of the lobbyists have shared their updates, we'll open the call for questions. At that point in time, if you'd like to ask a question, you will press *9 on your phone. As a note, this call is being recorded. We'll send an email summary out along with a link to the call's recording later this afternoon. Please note, we have a 30-minute window here, and so it's not possible to cover every single bill that's been filed. For a comprehensive list of bills that we're watching and working on, please go to the League website. Under the Advocacy tab, you'll find bill summaries that are updated weekly. All right. With that, I'm going to kick it over to Charles Chapman for the first update.
Good morning and welcome to week two of legislative session. In the Chapman folder, we're watching House Bill 665 coming up tomorrow, January 17th. That is Wednesday at 8 a.m. For those of you that have been tracking House Bill 665, this would be a bill that would create a program with cities of a population of 30,000 people or more to establish by later this year a two-phase program that would allow for developers that have larger size developments to request up to 50% of their building permits at the approval of the preliminary plat phase. This is in an effort to expedite residential building permits to get construction started earlier. We have briefed out on this a couple of times, and there's more information in our bill summary. The bill does a lot of different things, but there are protections in for cities that are creating these programs up to including a 130% performance bond that the developer has to post. Hold harmless language, also called indemnification for folks that are familiar with that term, that does not have limitations except for as it applies to vested rights. We are flagging this bill because there's concerning language within the proposed amendment that we have been working on with proponents of the bill that we haven't come to agreement with as it relates to vested rights for the developer as they progress through this process. It is not consistent with common law for those attorneys that are on the phone. It takes some liberalities with the language, and we're not happy with that. So we're going to continue working on that bill. We're monitoring it. We are in opposition to that bill as it stands today. The bill has not been formally amended as of this morning. However, we look for that amendment to post later this afternoon. So please stay tuned and stay alert as it pertains to that. If your city is over a population of 30,000, moving quickly to something I think is on everybody's mind, which is the homestead exemption bill packages. This would be House Bill 7015, 7017, and 7019. This relates to increasing the homestead exemption by $25,000. It also has an exemption that would be increased by consumer price indexing each year. These are constitutional amendments that if they are approved through the process and signed by the governor, they would go on the ballot in November 2024. We have sent a few alerts out on this bill, and we've asked for information as it relates to impacts of these bills on your general revenue budget. Please continue to send those in. We need your information to tell our story and to highlight the negative impacts that these bills would have on your general revenue. So please keep sending those in. With that, that's it for me for this week. I'll kick it over to David Cruz.
Thanks, Charles, and good morning, everybody. I got good news and I got bad news, and it is a cold, rainy morning in Tallahassee, so let's start off with some good news. On the good news front, one of our priority bills, House Bill 479, Alternative Mobility Funding System by Representative Robinson, passed last week in the House. The Senate companion bill also was heard and passed in the Senate side. That's Senate Bill 688 by Senator Martin. These bills are making some great headway, and as a matter of fact, the House Bill 479, has been placed on an agenda to be heard again in its second committee of reference this week on Wednesday. So that's House Bill 479 by Representative Robinson. It's a bill supported by the League of Cities. It aligns with our priority on mobility fees and mobility plans. And it will be heard in the House Ways and Means Committee Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. I would encourage you to reach out to your House members on the House Ways and Means Committee and let them know that we support this bill. Just for a brief recap, the bill does two primary things. First, it goes ahead and defines mobility fee and mobility plan. Under current law, we feel that there's been a lack of clarity on the definition of those terms. That's led to some uncertainty and even some litigation at the local level. And so the bills are trying to provide that needed clarity. Second things the bills do that are very important is that it clarifies that only the local government issuing the building permit is allowed to collect the transportation concurrency fee. There has been some disputes among local governments on how that is to work, and so the bill is going to go in and weigh in on that. So again, we support that bill up on Wednesday, House Bill 479, Representative Robinson. Then on to the bad news. Last week, our sovereign immunity bill, that's House Bill 569 by Representative McFarland, was heard in its first committee of reference. The bill is titled Suits Against the Government, and this is a bill that the League of Cities opposes. Unfortunately, the bill passed the House Civil Justice Subcommittee on a 17-1 vote. Representative Manny was the only no vote on that committee. So if he is your representative, please reach out to him and thank him for being the lone no vote. We really appreciate that. Just to recap what this bill does, it goes ahead and increases sovereign immunity caps for all government entities in the state of Florida. Current law sets those at 200 and 300. The bill would increase those to 400 and 600. It then ties that number to what is called a CPI or Consumer Price Index, so that annually, every year at July, these caps would increase according to inflation. The bill also has numerous other provisions that we feel are concerning. They certainly make it more lucrative for trial lawyers to bring forward these suits against government entities. And the larger this pot gets, the overarching concern is the more lawsuits our cities would face, and obviously the increased insurance costs that our cities will be facing to try to insure against these claims. And so we are opposed to that bill. The bill will now move to the House Appropriations Committee. That committee is not meeting this week. So the earliest that this bill will be considered again will be next week in the House Appropriations Committee. That committee is an extremely large committee. There's 29 members on that committee. And so what I would ask, while we know that bill will not be heard this week, is that if you have a House member in the House Appropriations Committee, please reach out to them and let them know our position on this bill and that we oppose the dramatic increases on sovereign immunity, and just let them know the importance of these issues. That would be extremely helpful. That committee will meet next on Monday, January 22nd of next week. And so anytime between now and next Monday, I would highly encourage you to reach out to your House member. I would plan on that bill likely being up next week. With that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Jeff Branch.
Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. First up, tomorrow, and it's Senate Bill 1084, Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services by Senator Collins. We are opposed to this bill. This is the Department of Agriculture's legislative package, which means it's the priority for the commissioner. Within that 91-page bill is a provision that would prohibit local governments from regulating electric vehicle charging stations. If your city does have any ordinance on the books regulating that, if you would reach out to me to let me know and your concerns if we are preempted on that provision. Next up, Wednesday in Regulatory Reform and Economic Development is House Bill 579, dealing with private providers for plans review and inspections. This bill is by Representative Griffiths. Just a word of note that there is not a Senate companion bill. The bill does the following. It defines what a private provider firm is that uses building code services through licensed agents or architects or engineers. If a private firm, a private provider firm uses those two entities, then they must qualify as a business organization. With that, they will be allowed to offer plans review and building inspections if a homeowner selects them. This would prohibit local governments from conducting their own plans review or inspections if a homeowner decides to use a private provider. It would require us within 12 business days to issue a permit or provide written notices of plan deficiencies. That's kind of a conflict because if we cannot inspect private providers' plans review or inspections, how can we issue written deficiencies? I do know some cities do allow the usage of private provider firms. If so, please let me know. If your city does not, if you have any feedback of what this may do for your city, please contact me by email or phone. Next up, the last bill today that's up on Thursday is Senate Bill 328, which is the Affordable Housing Bill. It's up in Fiscal Policy by Senator Kalalud. This is the final stop of what we're calling the Live Local Part 2 bill. And some of the highlights of that bill are the following. It eliminates the requirement for local governments to approve qualifying developments in industrial areas. That's current law, so it gives us that authority to not approve those, restricting those provisions only for areas zoned for commercial and mixed-use purposes. It modifies the height preemption for qualified developments to the highest height allowed within a one-mile radius. Under current law, you would remember it was within 1 mile of the jurisdiction. Provides additional consideration for within 1/4 mile under the proposed legislation instead of current law 1 mile. It provides additional considerations for heights if the adjacent buildings are 3 stories or less. The House bill has not been agended yet, and so we are in support of this bill. And with that, I'll hand it over to Rebecca.
Good morning, everyone. So far, nothing on the agenda for today or Wednesday, but I want to put a couple of things on your radar, potentially for Friday and early next week. The bills I'm going to talk about deal with utility surcharges and utility caps on utility transfers to the general fund. Relating to the surcharge, this is House Bill 777 by Representative Brackett and Senate Bill 1088 by Senator Martin, entitled Water and Wastewater Utility Fees, Rates, and Charges. House Bill 777 was heard in its first committee last week. It is teed up and ready to go to its second committee, which is the Local Administration Subcommittee in the House. That committee meets on Friday. It has not yet noticed an agenda, but the bill could be up Friday at 9 a.m. in the Local Administration Committee. On the Senate side, the House companion to that bill, which is Senate Bill 1088 by Senator Martin, it's not on the agenda for this week. It is referred to the Senate Regulated Industries Committee, which will meet early next week. So it is possible that that bill could be heard in Senate Reg Industries next week. What I'm asking you to do is that if you care about the elimination of the surcharge or having to impose the same rates, fees, and charges on customers inside your city as those outside, then you need to contact the members of the House Local Administration Committee about House Bill 777 and contact the members of the Senate Regulated Industries Committee about Senate Bill 1088. The next two bills I'm going to talk about deal with the enterprise fund transfer issue. The first bill is House Bill 1277, and the Senate bill is Senate Bill 1510. The House bill is sponsored by Representative Busada Cabrera. The Senate bill 1510 is sponsored by Senator Broder. House Bill 1277 has been referred to committee. The first committee it's referred to is the House Energy Subcommittee. That committee meets Friday at 12:30 p.m. The bill could be on that agenda. The Senate bill, Senate Bill 1510, has been referred to the Senate Regulated Industries Committee. That bill could be heard early next week. What the bills do is the following. If you have a water, wastewater, electric, or gas utility, the bill will cap transfers from the utilities enterprise fund to your general fund. The cap is based on the average rates of return on equity approved by the Public Service Commission for investor-owned utilities. These bills further reduces that cap based on the percentage of extraterritorial customers that a utility serves. It's a basis point reduction that increases commensurate with the percentage of extraterritorial customers served. There is an exemption from these further transfers and the further basis point reductions if the utility is governed by an electric utility, by an elected utility authority with proportionate membership for extraterritorial customers. The only place I know of that has a elected body like this that meets this exemption currently is the Florida Keys. So likely none of you will meet this exemption. So what I'd like you to do, and I'm asking you to do, is contact the members of the House Energy Subcommittee regarding House Bill 1277, because it could be on the agenda for Friday, and contact members of the Senate Regulated Industry Committee for Senate Bill 1510, because it could be heard next week if you have concerns about caps on transfers. And with that, I will turn it over to Sam.
Hey guys, good morning. Thank you for joining us. I have four bills for you. We're going to start with the vacation rental bills. These are our bills. The Senate bill is 280 by Senator DeSigley, and the House bill is 1537 by Representative Griffiths. We oppose these bills. For the Senate bill is going to be up in committee on Thursday, the 18th at 1:30 p.m. It is our intention to speak. We are meeting with several members of the committee this week. The bill is going to preempt cities from further regulation. It's going to provide us with an opportunity to suspend a license, but it's going to take 11 strikes before we can do so. It's going to require platforms to register and remit tax. That is the gist of the bill. I didn't want to spend too much time on it. For 1537, the House version of that bill, it got its committee references over the weekend. It was regulatory reform and economic development, ways and means, and the Commerce Committee. What we would like you to do in terms of action on 1537 is we'd like you to contact the members of the Regulatory Reform and Economic Development Subcommittee in the House and let them know that we are opposed as the League, that you are opposed to the vacation rental bill. The second set of bills I have for you are in relation to public meetings. These are bills 157 by Representative Caruso and Senate Bill 894. By Senator Bradley. Currently, we are neutral on these bills. What these bills do is permit a city council to conduct official business by teleconference no more than two times per year, as long as all notice and traditional access requirements are met. However, you cannot conduct, you cannot do any ordinance or quasi-judicial hearings via teleconference, and that is the bill. That bill is going to be up this morning. This afternoon at 1:30 p.m. In the Senate, Senate Bill 894, and we will be there listening to the bill. We will not be taking any action on the bill. So for those two items, for those public meetings bills, I have no requests for you. And I think with that, I'm going to kick it back to Casey. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Sam. All right, so you heard from each of the lobbyists. It's week two of session. So what that means, practically speaking, is that everything's alive. There are packed agendas. Every single House and Senate committee is meeting, and they're hearing bills. That is normal for this stage of the process. As we get further into session, subcommittees will stop meeting, typically around week four or five. And you'll see fewer bills on agendas as the further we get into session. So we've reported on a lot. We'll send out the summary after the call. But now let's transition into the question and answer portion of the call. So if you'd like to ask a question, As a reminder, press star 9, and when you're recognized, please state your name and your city. All right, first question.
Yeah, this is Fred Forbes, Deputy Mayor of Bonita Springs. I got on a little late, so this may have been covered, but there's a bill that's sponsored by Senator Grutter that would force Collier County and Lee County to merge their MPOs. Do you have any information on that? And if you report it, and I didn't hear it, I apologize for being late. My wife just got out of the hospital, so anyway.
I'm sorry to hear that. I hope she's okay, Deputy Mayor.
I do not know.
Great.
Yeah. What we did know is this: Grutter's sponsors it in the Senate. As of something like Thursday of last week, I believe, no one in the House had picked up and made a bill that's companion to it. Now that could have changed. That's what I'm hoping you guys would know.
Sure. So that sounds, because it's combining, you know, two county MPOs, it sounds like a local bill. The league doesn't traditionally get involved in local bills, but certainly we can do a little bit of digging around the Capitol if you follow up and send me the bill number. So
okay,
we can,
I'll do that for you.
And my, yeah. Yep. Yep.
See, the interesting Great. Thing is Grutter's is not in our local delegation. So it makes no sense that he would even sponsor this bill. We've heard that a lot of our local delegation is in favor of it. I know Adam Botana is. I know a couple of the others that would be, but I haven't heard that it's widespread. All right. Thank you very much. And the rest of the report was very helpful. Sounds like it's business as usual. Us trying to make better bills out of their bad bills. Or kill them. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Yes, sir. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. It's fun times in Tallahassee when the legislature's in town. All right. Next caller.
Hi. Good morning. This is Councilwoman Taylor from Waldo, Florida.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You're a little garbled. I'm calling in reference to, I have questions on House Bill 777, Senate Bill 1088, Municipal Water and Sewer Utility Rate Fees and Charges.
Yep.
Can you explain that a little more and like a little more in layman's terms for me?
Hi, this is Rebecca O'Hara. Sure, I will. So the first thing that the bill does is that it eliminates entirely your authority to impose any level of a surcharge or fee on customers outside of your city boundaries. If your water or wastewater utility serves customers on the outside of your city boundaries. So that's the first thing it does. You're still going to be allowed to charge them rates for the water or wastewater that they use or consume, but those rates must be the same as the rates that you impose on customers inside your city boundaries. So that's the bill in a nutshell.
Okay. And could you further explain a little bit more on the one with water on Senate Bill 1510, the municipal utilities as well, that's being opposed?
Sure. This is the bill that imposes a cap on any transfers that you make from your utility revenues to the general fund. So if you take money from the utility, you know, any excess money from the utility, and you transfer it to your general fund to use that money to fund general government services as opposed to funding things that just for the utility, then you will be limited in what you can transfer. The transfer amount is based on, the transfer amount is based on figures from the Public Service Commission that it uses for private utilities like Florida Power and Light. The other thing that the bill does is that it further reduces that cap based on the number of extraterritorial customers that you might serve. So if you serve 45% of your customer base is located outside of your utility, then you're going to face a pretty significant cap on what you can transfer to the general fund.
Okay, thank you, Ms. O'Hara.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilwoman. All right, last call for questions. Star 9 if you'd like to ask a question. Going once, going twice, sold. All right, well, that concludes today's call. Stay, keep your phones and your computers close by because we'll be sending not only a summary of this call and a link to the recording, but also a legislative update here shortly, later on this morning. There's a lot of activity at the Capitol, and it's super important that you're in contact with your legislators to let them know about the impacts to each of your communities with some of this pending legislation. That is the way that we'll have a successful session. So thank you all for tuning in this morning. We will see you back next Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern time for week 3's call, legislative preview for the week. So thanks, everybody. Y'all have a great day.